And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn. Weekdays from 12:30 to 2 on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn. 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome, welcome. Nice to have you with us on the, let me stop and think, Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn at Tuesday. That feels like Monday. You know, anytime you have a long holiday weekend, it's confusing for a couple of days. But at the end of the year, we always get a double because Christmas and New Year's are always on the same day. So it's really confusing. Plus, we have some students going back to school today, some not, some delayed because of the horrific weather. So, yeah, we'll just try to settle down and get going into the start of a new year. We have a good program lined up for you. Howie Pentany will be chatting with us in just a second here as we take a look back at what I think was a pretty good year if you were an investor. Later on the program today, Stan Kosciuszko, president of the Butler County Chamber of Commerce, will stop in. And Shalene Kirchy Lang will be here as well. But let's first of all say hello to Howie Pentany. Howie, nice to talk with you today. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, David. It's good to be here.
Let me give you just a touch of background information. Howie Pentany is a client portfolio manager, Pentany Capital Management. And the opinions and the discussion that we have here today are for general information only. Not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your attorney, your accountant, your financial advisor, or your tax advisor prior to investing. It's just a disclaimer that we always use anytime we talk to professional people, whether it's an orthopedic surgeon or an attorney or, in the case of Howie, a wealth manager. Very much layperson's assessment, pretty much on target. When we take a look back at 2017, it was a pretty good year if you were an investor, right, Howie?
Exactly. I think that it was obviously much better than most of us expected. I mean, if you were hanging around before the election last year, why, you know, most people were saying that Hillary was going to get elected, and all the polls pointed to that, and even the bettors in Vegas were wrong. And then the people who decided that maybe Trump was going to win decided that the markets were going to crash, you know, if Trump won. So it was a very interesting year.
Well, they did not crash. Do you have any ballpark figures for us on the various indices, how they did, or are they available already here on January 2nd?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I typically use the numbers that do not include dividends reinvested. That way it's kind of fair for everybody. As I talk to investors, it's very difficult to manage your money today without having any expenses whatsoever. So I always toss out the dividends and just say, okay, those are the expenses. Mm-hmm. So we had there's nothing more you can say, Dave, than it was a great year. I mean, the Dow, which you and I don't pay a lot of attention to because it only contains 30 stocks, the Dow was up 25%. The NASDAQ was just storming along, and it was up 28%. And that's because of the tech stocks. You know, a lot of the tech stock, information technology, did very well, so the NASDAQ did well. What I pay attention to is I like to look at the numbers that are compared to pension investments and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be the Standard & Poor's 500. And the Standard & Poor's 500 was up 19.4%. I mean, this is not shabby, you know. This is a pretty good performance. The interesting part about the market this year, as far as the various indexes performing, in my view, was that the small caps did not do as well as the mid caps. and that's just normally not the case. Small caps, called the Russell 2000, small caps were up roughly 13%, and the mid caps outperformed by about 1.5%, so 14.5% for the mid cap stocks. That's kind of unusual that that would happen. And, you know, that's just goes to show you what kind of a year it was. I mean, it was, if you paid attention to everything that went on during the year, you know, it was very difficult to be an investor. And of course, you and I have talked before that I think that you have to have courage to be an investor. I'm not someone who's in the ballpark of, you know, that investing is gambling. I don't go there. Excuse me. But I do agree that you do have to have courage because, generally speaking, especially in today's liberal journalism, you get nothing but bad news. You know, everything's bad. Everything's bad's going to happen. And of course, we went through 2017 where things did go wrong in certain areas, but then the rally just continued and continued and continued. You and I have talked about this for 2 or 3 years, how this is one of the most resilient stock markets I've ever seen. I mean, it'll gobble up bad news and then go down a little bit, and then boom, it starts off again. But the volatility this year, Dave, was almost non-existent. You know, if it was down, if the market was down 2 or 3% at one time, why, you know, that was kind of a big deal. So we didn't really have 10% corrections. Those are, people call corrections 10% moves. We didn't even have those. So, I mean, this was a very interesting year.
It's also, and correct me if I'm wrong here, is it the ninth year now for what's termed a bull market, or am I mangling my definitions there?
Well, here's the deal. Most people call a bear market down 20%.
Mm-hmm.
You go back to October of 2017, that was really the high of that market run in there. If you go back and look, October 2017. Then we got smashed down 37 or 38 in 2008. And then in early 2009, you know, we were down more. At one juncture, the market was down from October of 17 to March of 2009. I think the market was down about 55%. So those were scary times. And as we all know, you know, historically, if you've been able to get through those times and hold on and have good, prudent, and high-quality investments, you know, you've come out okay. But, man, those were scary times back then. I don't think there's any question about it.
You and I have talked many times in the past about how no one can predict consistently when a market decline will happen. We do know that a nine-year run is certainly longer than average. In fact, as you mentioned, the last real big drop was back in 08, 09, very end of 08, very beginning of 09. But we continually see these dire warning flags. And by the way, it's not just here in the United States on some of the, you know, the cable news business channels. I copied a story from the Irish Times, Howie. This was right after Thanksgiving, so a little over a month ago. This was the headline: "Beware, stock markets could be heading for a crash." And I kind of chuckled when I thought of you when I saw the headline, of course. But this goes to show you that these are, you know, it's a global economy these days. It's not just the United States. We have to look at Europe. We have to look at Asia. We have to look at all over the world.
It's interesting, and you're on one of my favorite subjects, and that is the one that, you know, people make forecasts.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always said, you know, if you keep making the same forecast, you know, the market's going to go down 20%. It's likely at some juncture you're going to be right. So if you keep pounding it, you're probably going to be right. And I'll have investors ask me once in a while, hey, I saw on television the other day, this guy is calling for a 30% drop in the market. What do you think? And my answer is, well, he could certainly could be right, but nobody knows. And that's one of my favorite things to write about. And I know people who read my stuff, they get tired of me saying, you know, nobody knows. But nobody knows. And I've always said that you have to build your portfolio so that what if it happens? I mean, what if the stock market goes down 30%, for instance? What if that happens? Well, you need to have your account built so that you can withstand that emotionally. You know, money is very emotional, Dave. People don't like to see it disappear. And so, it affects their judgment. And I don't know about you, but as I think back in my life, not that I've made a lot of mistakes, you know, but the mistakes that I've made probably have been under duress. You know, when you're really under emotional stress, I don't know anybody that makes good decisions. I mean, it's difficult enough to make decisions when nothing's wrong. But when the markets go against you, it's very, very difficult to make an intelligent decision. You know, there were a lot of people who sold in 2008 and never got back in the stock market, never. And they've just missed this tremendous run in the market since then. So emotions really play a big part in what financial people do, in my view, to help their clients. Is you have to keep everybody emotionally intact, and it's just not an easy thing to do.
Let's talk a little bit about the new president, Donald Trump. He pushed hard for reform of the tax law in the United States. Finally, got it passed. I guess in mid-December. Yeah, it was right before Christmas. Any thoughts, Howie Penteney, on how the tax reform bill will affect the stock market, or is it too early to tell, or, again, don't we know?
It's probably too early to tell, but I think that any sort of a tax reform is probably good. I mean, our tax process was in shambles. And, you know, I love watching Trump. I voted for him. I'm not sure, you know, I don't like a lot of the stuff he does. I mean, again, this is a personal opinion, you know, on Twitter all the time and all that. I mean, I just don't like that. But I think that, say what you want about the guy, I think he loves America. I think he wants America to succeed. I'm not sure his ideas are, you know, what everyone wants to see. Certainly not mine. I mean, not everything he does I'm happy about, trust me. But I think that probably he has given companies, and I've talked to people in business today. I mean, I've talked to some people around Butler, for instance, who are in business for themselves. And because President Trump is in there, they feel pretty good about business itself. In other words, one of the things that he's helped with a lot, in my view, is the regulatory issues. I mean, I think that, President Obama was not particularly business friendly. I don't think anybody will argue that. And he put a lot of regulations in place, which, in most people's views, hurt business. And so the president has overturned some of those, maybe too many, I don't know. But he's certainly given business an opportunity to do business. That's one of my favorite things about him. He's given business an opportunity to do business. Now, you know, whether he's right or wrong, it'll be, you know, years before we know that. But if you look at the stock market and what it's done since he was elected, I think that that's a result of enthusiasm, you know, for his policies. And I think that several millions of jobs have been created since he took over. But, you know, quite honestly, anybody who believes the numbers out of our government today, you know, I mean, unemployment numbers, I've always said that 4% unemployment many, many years ago, you may remember this, Dave, I think that was considered, hey, if you wanted a job, you had one. That was 4%. Well, we're back down around 4% now. I just don't think it's the same times. In other words, Butler County's pretty good. Butler County's full of a bunch of people who want to work, number one. And, you know, I've talked about that, too. All you got to do, if you don't believe me, is get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and start watching the highways, and you'll see people in Butler County getting up to go to work.
That's true.
So Butler County's a bunch of working people. And so I think that Butler County's a little bit different. But there's a lot of people out there who don't want to work. I guess there are probably people who can't find work. I mean, that would be fair. You know, there are people who can't find work. But generally speaking, you know, people can get a job and can work. And you know, people come from humble beginnings. You know that? I mean, I love these stories about people who started in the mailroom in a company, you know, and they worked, worked themselves up to where, you know, things are happening. And look what's happened in our workforce today and in publicly traded companies and in the stock market. Women are taking an incredibly larger position in being the big bosses and having the money. I mean, I laugh all the time. I know a lot of women investors, and, you know, my view is that women really aren't that much different than men. That's why I don't think you need to talk to women on one hand and men on the other hand. I mean, I think everybody's interested in the same thing. But women, I've said, I try not to say this out too loud so that my wife hears it, but I think that women are pretty much taken over. There's no secret that America's wealth is either controlled or is owned. About 70% is owned or controlled by women. Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to say to yourself, you know, baby boomers like me are getting old. One of these days, if I have any money left, my wife's going to get it. And that's the situation we're all going through. So I think that women will control 80 or 90% of the wealth in the United States in, I don't have proof of any of this, in, let's say 20 years. I think that that would be a very reasonable thing, that women could control all the wealth or most of it, you know, in a very short period of time. More women are graduating from college. More women are graduating with higher degrees than men. I mean, it just stands to reason that women, you know, a lot of people say they're going to take over. I think they've already taken over. So I think that, you know, people better get used to that, and they're doing a pretty good job. So as long as they keep doing a good job, I think that women will continue to play an ever-increasing part in business in the United States.
All you got to do is take a look at some of the TV commercials. I've, over the past week and a half, I guess, watched a heck of a lot of football on TV, and actually during the entire holiday season, even leading up to Christmas. Auto ads, car ads were just all over the place. And think, Howie, how many of them were centered on women, featured women, talked about women, you know, making the decision. Certainly, for most families, that's a big ticket item when you're buying a new car.
Right. Right.
And ad agencies and these car companies, you know, General Motors and Ford and Fiat and all the rest of them, they don't just stumble into these campaigns. I mean, they do a lot of market research before they make these commercials. And certainly,
well, I told you a long time ago, you know, I figured out a long time ago my wife's smarter than I am, so the only thing I can use is old age and guile. You know, I have to trick her to get her to do things, you know, if I can do that. So I think that we men are in a situation where things have changed so much. I mean, I remember, Dave, and I don't know whether it was 10 or 15 years ago, but I remember I was chatting with someone in a business, and I was not happy with what this someone was telling me, and it was a male. And I said to the male, could I talk to your supervisor, please? And he said, yes. Well, out comes a woman. That was my first shock. I said, whoa, this guy works for a woman. And that was actually, and that was a while back, Dave. I mean, I'm talking 10 or 15 years that I first realized that women were taking more leadership positions, and women would actually, I know a couple situations where women took jobs that men wouldn't take because men wouldn't take the pay. And the women are smarter than that. See, they took the pay and then they learned. And as a result of that, now even more women are running things because they were willing to take the jobs and learn and then, you know, put their experiences to good work. So it's been an interesting journey for the women. I think it's going to continue.
We're talking with Howie Penteny from Penteny Capital Management. It's a good time to take a look back. It seems funny to say take a look back at 2017, but here we are, January 2nd. So it was a good year for investors, pretty much whatever index you look at. What about people who are wondering, Howie? You mentioned some people never got back into the market after late 08, 09. Is it too late? I mean, here we are, bull market 9 years old now, second oldest in history. Is it too late? Can you still get in?
I think people ask me that question, David, and I always say, you know, if I was absolutely positive of that answer, I wouldn't have time to talk to you because I'd be running my own money, you know, that way, and I wouldn't tell anybody.
Well,
so it's very difficult. And all I can tell you is that over the past 100 and some years, if you've held on to high quality investments and, you know, you were a long-term investor, you've done just fine. I just don't have a crystal ball out there the next 20 or 30 or 40 or 100 years. But the trend is up, and I'm willing to go along with the trend until we see what happens. But it's very difficult. Over my career, and I've been around for 4 decades in this business, over my career, if you made quality investments, you normally were rewarded. So I think that's kind of what you look at. I think if you stay with quality and you're patient and you know how much risk you're taking, I think one of the things that people don't do is they don't know what they own. I mean, I think it would be kind of cool to go out there and stop people on the street and ask them if they're an investor and ask them what they own and then ask them, well, what does that do? You know, what's in that investment? Most people don't know, Dave. Most people don't know what they own.
It's interesting. I was looking at some statistics prior to our getting together to chat today. I was checking the Pew analysis of Census Bureau data, which is pretty accurate. Only about 19%, actually just under 19% of U.S. taxpayers own stocks directly. However, about half of Americans participate in the market through an employee-sponsored retirement plan. So, and they would,
which generally means mutual funds.
Yes, and they would tend to be, to your point, I think, the ones who maybe aren't quite sure what they own, what they have.
I talk to them once in a while. You know, I talk to people who have those types of pension accounts, and I don't get a lot of satisfaction out of asking that question, Dave. In other words, what is this and what do you own? You know, a lot of them don't have a clue, and it's not good. But and people don't necessarily just invest in the stock market. I mean, people invest in the United States stock market. Outside the U.S., you know, the Yeah, made any money outside the U.S. for quite a few years, and now this year the global indexes were, I think the Dow Global Index ex the U.S. was probably up 25%. So the foreign stock's been doing well, but it's been crazy. It's been interesting to note things like commodities. I think that commodities have been up and down, and pardon me while I cough, and there's some thought that another El Nino is coming, and if that happens, why, that could affect grain prices. So people invest in everything, and you just need to know what it is you invest in. We can talk about, if you want to take a break, we can talk about some of those commodities, gold, oil, that kind of thing, natural gas.
We'll do that in just a moment. We're chatting with Howie Penteny today from Penteny Capital Management, and it's the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR. We'll pick up our conversation with Howie in just a moment. One of our sponsors on the program today, Butler Motor Tours. Butler Motor Tours. You know, they'll be taking, for years, as long as I can remember, they've taken two trips down south in the wintertime, usually in January and February, down to Florida. And, you know, when you've been doing this for so long, you know the places to go. Maybe more importantly, you know the places not to go. If you want to enjoy a couple of weeks in Florida in the warm weather, and boy, with the weather we're having right now, who doesn't? You can check with the Butler Motor Tours online at butlerbus.com for details. They also have coming up very soon their annual one-day trip to the Butler Farm Show. And this is, again, something because they've done this for so long. You know, the State Farm Show is in Harrisburg. How do you get to Harrisburg and back in a day? Well, Butler Motor Tours. Leave early in the morning, enjoy the day at Harrisburg, and then don't worry about, you know, trying to stay alert and stay awake on the drive back. They'll bring you back. Mm-hmm. And their brochure, their 50-page brochure outlining all of their trips for the coming year will be out very, very soon, probably within the next couple of weeks. And always remember, gift certificates are available. They'll be glad to help you with those. You say, well, how do I buy a vacation trip for Aunt Martha? Well, a gift certificate, whatever quantity you desire, and then they can put that toward the trip of their choice. Talk to the folks at Butler Motor Tours or check their website online, butlerbus.com. A local company, been around for more than three quarters of a century now. South Monroe Street in Butler. Butler Motor Tours online at butlerbus.com. Howie Penteny is with us from Penteny Capital Management. So let's talk a little bit about commodities. Gold has always been in the news. What's that doing these days, Howie?
Tell you, Dave, that you know nobody's listening in today to hear you and I talk about the stock market. You know what they want to hear, don't you?
What?
Bitcoin.
It's on my list of things to talk about. Yeah.
Somebody asked me, "Are you going to talk about Bitcoin?" And we'll make it real short and sweet. Bitcoin, cyber currency, and obviously it's popular. You know, a lot of people are using it. But I'm not. I don't know anything about it. I don't want to know anything about it. I don't like investments, even speculative ones, which is what that is. It can go from $20,000 one day to $10,000 the next day. I'm just not interested in that. So I don't know anything about it, and I don't want to know anything about it just because of that. It's perfectly fine, I guess, if you know people that know about it and you want to speculate, but that's exactly what it is. And now we'll move on to gold.
Yeah, I feel kind of the same way. And by the way, this is not the first time that this cyber currency idea has surfaced. It was 3 or 4 years ago it came up, and then it kind of disappeared. And I kind of have the same feeling about Bitcoin this time around. I don't know.
Could be great. I'm just not going to play in that arena.
So what about gold? Gold's been around since the Romans.
Gold has been, I guess you could say, kind of stagnant, I guess. Up and down a little bit. This year, it's up 13.5% to a point where you know, it seems to kind of be trading at an upper limit, but who knows? But it's up 13.5%, and so you really can't scream and yell about a return like that. It's okay, but it's been kind of stagnant. I think the interesting things to me have been the one that continues to astound me is natural gas. It's down. I didn't think I could ever say this from the point it was. Natural gas is down 20% in 2017 per million BTU, and it was down to, I think it was down, it's about $3, and it's just incredible. 256. I mean, I remember when natural gas was trading at $13 or $14 per million BTU, and now it's $2 and something. I mean, it's incredible. And we just have this, we're just flush. You know, we just have a lot of it. Nobody's controlling it. I know that there's a lot, you know, a lot of the major oil companies are now major natural gas companies.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
These people are typically not stupid, and they've decided to go toward natural gas. So at some juncture, and I have no clue when that is, maybe we'll see natural gas increase in price. But we just have so much of it. I mean, it's everywhere. The interesting thing is I notice in Butler County, I'm sure that everybody does, there's still some drilling going on. So people are still drilling here with the price so low. So, you know, it is interesting to me. I don't get it because, you know, how can you drill guaranteeing yourself that you're probably going to lose? Unless you have a lot, you have to have a very long-term view. At least it appears that way. Things could change overnight, but you know, natural gas is a pretty cool energy, and we just have a lot of it. And I think that you know, there's a lot of countries out there, Dave, that don't have any natural resources, and they need natural gas. And the only way you can get it to them is propane. So there's a lot of conversion to propane going on in the United States, and that's going to happen more, I think, in the future. You're going to see more propane being shipped out of the United States to these countries that just don't have natural resources, you know, and they need this stuff. So that's kind of interesting, but it doesn't tell you when prices are going to go up. You know, when are we going to run our supply so short that, you know, demand overshoots supply? You know, when is that going to happen? Nobody knows that, I'm sure.
What about investors in the major, what used to be oil companies that are now, in many cases, most cases actually, concentrating on natural gas? Is oil, is that a thing of the past, or will it be before too much longer?
I don't think so, but I'm probably not a good person to ask. I mean, let's assume that some country decides to outlaw gasoline engines in their cars. Well, you know, you just can't replace all the cars, you know, with batteries, and you can't force people to convert to natural. So I don't see how this works. See, I don't see where oil goes away anytime in the near future. But I'm not, you know, I'm not real good at that, so I'm probably not a good person to ask, but I don't understand how that happens. But I think that you already know the answer to that, because a lot of these major companies, particularly the oil companies, you know, are maybe approaching 50% natural gas and 50% oil as far as what they produce. I just don't see it going away, Dave. I've said everybody, it's a good thing that I'm mature, because I'm not driving an electric car or a natural gas car. I like to hear vroom vroom, and so I'm going to continue to drive gasoline engines.
The only country that I've heard of, there's a small, I think it's the Netherlands, Holland in Europe that announced, and this is a long-term goal. It's like by 2035, you know, they're not going to have any more gasoline-powered cars. But again, that's Holland. I mean, you know, I mean, that's like saying Western Pennsylvania, or for that matter.
Right.
It's a different story than the United States. Well, what about, here's another big one, what about coal? Now, I understand that there were some coal mines that have reopened, but not so much for generating electricity anymore. We're using natural gas to do that around here nowadays. But I guess there's a market for exporting coal to some countries that are still using it primarily to generate electricity?
There is, but and this is another one of those things I don't know anything about. I mean, I grew up in coal country, so I grew up in northern West Virginia at a time when, you know, strip mining was popular, so I've seen all that,
mm-hmm.
and I've seen the huge demand. And the demand really came along, Dave, after World War II. If you remember, I can remember sleeping at my grandmother's house, which was right across the road from the railroad tracks. And you could hear the railroad cars going by all night long, and they were filled with coal. And so that was a real boom during the 50s and 60s, you know, as it came along. And then things started to slow down a little bit, and then they picked up again because of demand from outside the U.S. So there's still going to be demand, but it's another one of those things where I don't see them going out of business tomorrow afternoon. So I think there still might be some demand, but you have to look at natural gas, and you have to look at solar, and you know, there's so many alternatives, even though they could be deemed, you know, a good bit more expensive, that as we become more green, if indeed we do, it would seem to me that we would be headed more in that direction. But I can't imagine that many of us are going to be around to see that.
That's interesting. You jogged my memory a little bit. I can remember in the 60s as a kid here in western Pennsylvania seeing these monstrous drag lines working 24 hours a day. And you could hear them at night because, you know, everything quieted down. You could see them. They had these incredible cranes with the floodlights on them and so on. And they just never shut down. They were digging coal all over the place. Yeah.
It was an interesting time. You know, a lot of damage was done then by the coal miners. A lot of them would pay a bond, particularly strip miners would pay a bond to reclaim the land and then just walk away because it was cheaper to walk away and forfeit the bond than it was to repair the land. And now you just can't do that kind of thing anymore. But, you know, a lot of damage was done back then. And I think I don't know that we've learned our lesson, but I think we probably have. And so, you know, those things may or may not happen again going forward. But there are so many options now for energy, you know, if you think about it. I'm seeing more and more people cutting their own wood and, you know, heating their homes with it, heating the water with it, and that kind of thing. And, you know, I laugh at myself because I used to do some of that myself as far as cutting wood and using a wood burner and that kind of thing. And I think as you get a little older, you know, it becomes a little more tiresome to do that kind of thing, and so you don't do it anymore. But some people are still doing it, and it does expand. It is expanding a little bit. So there are just so many different ways that you can heat your home, or you can add some heat to your home where you may rely on, you know, electric heat, but yet you run the wood burner, and, you know, that's an alternative source of heat for yourself. So there are interesting alternatives to heat and to energy, pardon me. And it's going to be interesting to watch solar. I mean, I don't think anybody has their thumb on solar as far as the cost goes. But, you know, if somebody ever figures out solar, why, you know, that could change everything.
Solar and wind, too. I mean, goodness gracious, we always have that. The latest thing I've seen are these wind farms that are being set up offshore in a few places around the world where they're, you know, really not bothering anybody. but generating a heck of a lot of electricity. They're doing that off the coast of the United Kingdom, I know, France, and I think there's one that's proposed for off the coast of New England somewhere, Massachusetts, I believe. I just need
some sort of a crystal ball that could show me 15 years from now, just for a few minutes. Could it just show me what things would be like 15 years from now? We could make a lot of money, you know? I don't think that, those things are still, they're just burgeoning, and it's going to be really cool to see all this stuff happen going forward. You know, where are we going to go? Everybody's becoming more efficient. I mean, I guarantee I'm more efficient at my house. I mean, I guarantee I'm buying, you know, light bulbs that burn longer and cheaper, and so everybody's got, that's been interesting for me to follow, actually, is I didn't think that many people would go for the light bulb at $7 or $8. Wrong.
Yeah.
I don't care what house you go into, what restaurant you go into, what business you go into. People have bought into this issue about, you know, not using so much energy.
That's fascinating, because whenever that light bulb bill was passed, there was great controversy about it. I can remember people arguing about it on this program here today. And by the way, it was George Bush that signed the legislation that, you know, eventually was going to ban the old incandescent bulb. And now it's everywhere. Not only that, but the price has come down enormously for...
Well, but also the light is... I hate to say this, David. The light has gotten brighter.
Yes, it's true.
In other words, the bulbs that you can buy now are bright. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to take a bulb that isn't as bright with all the new light bulbs that are out there. Why, things have gotten a lot brighter. I have an LED shop light in my garage. I mean, I feel like I'm going to get a sunburn from it whenever I turn it on. I mean, it is wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, it's really bright. And it doesn't use the electricity that the old ones use.
Use a lot less. Yeah.
But I remember, and we're dating ourselves, David, I remember when they put this law into effect, I remember friends of mine going out and buying 100-watt bulbs by the gross.
Yes, I do too.
You remember that?
Yeah.
And just laugh, you know, they're buying them up so that they don't go away because they didn't want to have to live with 60-watt bulbs, you know.
We talked about
the whole energy thing. All of this is all tied together, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch this thing go forward. I love watching it. I mean, I like reading about the new things that are going on, and number one, if you're an investor, you need to check that stuff out anyway. You know, there are opportunities there. So, you know, it's kind of interesting to watch all this to see where in the world this is all going.
We talked about Donald Trump's tax cuts. We talked about deregulation. And one thing we haven't talked about is he's still discussing, demanding better trade deals. I don't know whether he's actually gone forward on any of these things, withdrawing from NAFTA or some of these other things, but I certainly don't claim to be tremendously knowledgeable on these things, but a lot of companies, big auto companies, for example, have plants in Mexico and Canada, and they've had them for 20 or 30 years, and obviously it's profitable for them. I'm not sure that they're going to be too keen on renegotiating a lot of these trade deals.
Yeah, like I say, it's going to be interesting to see where all this goes, and I think it's, I think generally it's going to be good for people. Like anybody else, I don't know about you. Well, I'm sure you're the same way. I hate change. I mean, I just hate to stop doing things I've been doing, you know, and have to change and go do something else. I've known people like that all of my life. I mean, I've known people who, my dad, for instance, who was very cool, he hated change. I mean, he'd say, I'm just not going to do that. You know, and he fought it all the way. And I think that most of us, fight change, and what we're finding out is that, and a perfect example of this, Dave, is retail. If you're not willing to change, you're going to get left behind. I mean, somebody, Amazon figured out that, and this is not a recommendation for Amazon, I don't want people to run out and buy the stock, I'm just talking, that Amazon decided they could sell stuff, you know, online about anything, and they figured it out, and they left a lot of retail companies behind.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that a lot of companies have gone out of business. I forget, I read the other day something like 800 stores have closed in the United States this year. 800. You know, that's a good bit of stores, you know. And it's going to get bigger, whether you think that some of these big box stores are going to close or whatever. But if you weren't willing to change, if you weren't willing to at least take a look at change, then you got left behind, and that's what happened to retail. I have a 33-year-old son, and you know something? He's not going to shop where I shopped. I can tell you that going forward. The places that I used to go to buy things, he's not going to go there. And as a matter of fact, I'm changing. I don't go to those places, some of those places either anymore. So you have to change with the times. A lot of the retail people didn't change. Retails talk about something that's going to be interesting to watch in the coming years. To me, retail is just going to be an incredible thing to watch. What's going to happen? What's going to happen to these companies? There's a company out there, a research company out there that has a death by Amazon list, and the list is companies that they think are going to go out of business.
Well, already some iconic names: Sears, Kmart.
I'm not going to talk about individual names. You can do it if you want to, but you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens generally in retail. And we're just not talking about stuff that you and I think can be mail ordered. You know, we're talking about food. We're talking about a lot of different things that you can get. And I have to admit. Man, it's easy to sit down to my computer and order something, and it'll be around in a couple of days, you know? I mean, it really is. It does change the way you think. Prices are better. I mean, things are really going to change in retail. And it'll be in my view, that's, technology is one thing. I mean, technology is going to just be even bigger than it is right now. But the change in retail is going to be interesting to watch, and it may not be fun for a lot of people.
And not just big stores. It was an interesting small article in the business section of the Post-Gazette this morning about convenience stores. And look at how they have changed over the past 20 years, particularly in our area. And I know you don't mention names, but I do. Sheetz, Get-Go, 7-Eleven. They're nothing like they were. I mean, it was a place where you got gas 20 years ago. And nowadays,
yeah,
they're
you
all...
know, things have changed. You know, when you can order a sandwich from the gas pump.
Yes.
Things have changed.
Yeah. Howie Petney is chatting with us. We're taking a look back at the year for investors, the year in the stock market, and it was an epic year. If you're joining us a little bit late, as Howie mentioned, rough numbers. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 25%. In 2017, 25%. NASDAQ, I think you said 28%. Standard & Poor's, S&P 500, 19%. Yeah, it was a pretty good year. And by the way, it's happening more rapidly than in the past. It had taken the Dow 14 years to climb from 10,000 to 15,000. 14 years. It took just over 3 years to reach 20,000. Early in 2017, and of course now it's getting close to 25,000. Howie Petney from Petney Capital Management is here. We'll take a quick break. Be back to wrap up our conversation with Howie here on the It's Your Turn program on WISR on this very frigid Tuesday. We'll be back right after this.
Sunnyview Nursing and Rehabilitation Center has a rich history in Butler. Now they are making continuous improvements and technological advancements to better serve the community. Sunnyview specializes in short-term rehabilitation and skilled nursing. Schedule a tour to see their beautiful facility. Call 332-6872 or visit sunnyviewcenter.com. Sunnyview Nursing and Rehabilitation Center, close to your home and close to your heart.
Penthony with us from Penthony Capital Management in Portersville. So what could affect the stock market negatively? What could make the stock market go down? We came through some pretty big crises last year, Howie. I think you'd have to say the whole thing with North Korea would be at the top of the list with, that guy over there and now nuclear weapons. And it didn't seem to faze the stock market or the economy. What could make it go down?
Somebody asked me the other day, Dave, somebody called me up and said, why does the stock market keep going up? As funny as it sounds, that's a reasonable question. And I said, the stock markets have a tendency to do well when you have low inflation, when you have interest rates that are pretty stable or falling, and when you have corporate profits expanding, in other words, companies making more money. Well, guess what, boys and girls? We have all that. We have all three of those things. So if we have all three of those things, what could make the market go down? Well, I have a pretty pat answer, and the answer is, we don't know about it right now. It could be something geopolitical. It could be anything that would trigger a stock market sell-off. And I don't think we know about it right now. We can't see it. In other words, I'm not an economist, but I don't see any recession coming along. Recessions are typically killers. I don't see a recession coming. I don't see, the expansion that we're undergoing right now. I try to read everything I can read, good and bad. I like to read both sides of the story. And, some people say that this expansion could last for a decade. Well, I don't know about that. A decade's a long time. And it's hard to tell about where or what it's going to take to make the stock market go down. Right now, nothing I can see is showing me that the market's going to go down. But remember, I can only see to right now. I can't see tomorrow afternoon. I can't see a week from now. I can't see a month from now. So I don't think we can see what is going to cause the market to go down. If we can see it, then it's probably going to be a little while, taking a little while for things to develop. Inflation would have to kick up. There's a lot of different things that would have to happen. But something could happen tomorrow afternoon to trigger a big sell-off. And everybody just needs to be ready about that. That's one of the fears that I have about investors, although I have to tell you that the investors that I know, I don't know many of them who are giddy, if you will. I don't know too many investors who are bubbling over with enthusiasm about this stock market. There may be a few, I just don't know many of them. So that's not necessarily a bad sign. If there are still people who are a little cautious and, they haven't just thrown in the towel and thrown all the money in the market. Why? That's not necessarily a bad thing. So I don't see any of that giddiness either that typically leads to a top in the market. So that also tells me that maybe we can't see it. Maybe it's right around the corner here, and we just don't know what it is, and we're going to have to wait to see things develop. And so that's my thought. My thought is I don't have a clue what's going to happen. I see a lot of reasons to own stocks because they're going up. It's very difficult to buy things here because valuations are high, prices are high. I think most people would agree with that.
It's interesting. But it could be something you don't even... last Friday, for example, President Trump, in another one of his tweets, you said earlier that you're not necessarily in favor of all his social media comments, but he took after Amazon again. And we had mentioned Amazon a few minutes ago. And he said something about, I don't have the Associated Press story in front of me right now, but something about Amazon should be charged much, much more by the post office. That's, of course, his general terms. Much more, because the post office is losing billions while Amazon is getting richer, and obviously it makes its money by shipping. In the seconds after that tweet last Friday, shares of Amazon started to fade and went into negative territory, and the stock closed down more than 1% on Friday. Just on a tweet from Donald Trump. Pretty amazing, huh?
You know, a lot of people, that's interesting you would say that, Dave. That's a good point. A lot of people look for reasons to sell. I mean, I suspect that there are a lot of people out there, a lot of investors out there, who are just looking for a reason to sell. You know, give me an excuse, I'll take my profits and run. You know, there's probably a lot of that around. So what you're saying is absolutely true. We don't know if an offhanded comment, or I have a tendency to think an offhanded comment's not going to do it, Dave, but, you know, we just don't know what it is. I just don't know what is going to happen to cause the market to go down, if anything. I mean, I'm not saying the market's going down. I don't know. But you would have to think that if it is going to go down, you and I just can't see it in here.
And aren't there automatic safeguards today that didn't exist back in 1929, where if the market starts to slide precipitously, there are safeguards that automatically kick in this day and age? Am I right on that?
Yeah, there are things that can be done, but I can tell you one thing for sure. You know, you have something like that happen for a few days in a row, and people begin to lose their enthusiasm, and you know, the market's so emotional, Dave. You start seeing your money go away, and it's very tempting to take some money off the table. And some people are doing that, I'm sure. And the people who are very negative now are probably people who took too much money off the table to begin with. You know, they've been in cash. It hasn't been good. But I don't know. It's going to be fun to watch it. You and I hopefully will be around to see what happens.
You look at those percentages in 2017, and you know, you wonder, the people that aren't at least investing something, where are they putting their money? I mean, the Dow up 25% last year, the S&P 19%, NASDAQ 28%. You know, you compare that to a CD or a money market account, I mean, it's they're just paying a pittance these days.
Well, I think the people I talk to, Dave, are not that enthusiastic about the market. And, you know, I've said, well, you know, if you, let's say the S&P was up 20. Okay, so if you were up 10, if you didn't make the 20, you made 10. Well, your net worth increased by 10% in 1 year. I mean, that's significant.
Very, yes.
And, you know, a lot of people have gone through that, I'm sure, which is not necessarily a bad thing, you know. And so it's just going to be very interesting. Again, I'm all about emotions. I think that when the money starts going away, I think people get emotional, and we'll see what happens. I think there's a lot of people around who hold hands, and they're going to be they could be busy one of these days. Although I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to bet against the stock market. It's been much more resilient than I thought, and I'm just going to hang on, see what happens.
Howie Penteney has been our guest today from Penteney Capital Management. It's in Portersville, by the way, right on Route 19, aren't you, Howie?
I am, thank you.
Yeah.
And nobody should listen to us because we don't know what we're doing.
If you want more information, you can call Howie Penteney at 724-368-4224. The opinions voiced on our program today are for general information only. They are certainly not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, your accountant, your financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Howie, it's always good to talk to you. It's educational. It's always fun, too. Thanks for being with us today. Good to talk to you.
Thanks a lot to everybody, and Happy New Year, everyone. And I hope you make a few shekels this year.
And I hope it warms up a little bit, too, before long.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Howie. Howie Penteny visiting with us. By the way, coming up on tomorrow's program, we'll have some open talk time tomorrow. Also tomorrow, we meet a new Penn State Extension educator. His name is Justin Brackenridge, and he'll be chatting with us tomorrow about a number of areas that Penn State offers educational information on and some upcoming programs and seminars, very inexpensive things, you know, pesticides and a bunch of other stuff, too. Justin Brackenridge will be with us on tomorrow's program from Penn State Extension. Well, we need to take a break here, and then more to come on this Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn, Tuesday, January 2nd. I haven't checked the temperature for the past 15 minutes. It's not going to get very warm today, I can tell you that. Let me just give you a quick check here before we take our break. Because with the wind chill factor, that's a big deal if you're heading outside, even for a few minutes, you know, just going out to the car. 13 degrees right now. We actually have had a little bit of sunshine pop out, which the weather folks said we might see this afternoon. But it's 13. And the wind chill factor makes it feel like minus one. Minus one. So don't be, I know. Don't be fooled by the sunshine. Stan Kosciusko and Shalin Kirchi-Lang visit with us coming up on the next segment of It's Your Turn, so stick around. We'll be back after these words.
Concordia Visiting Nurses is a Medicare-certified home health agency offering services provided by healthcare professionals like registered and licensed practical nurses, physical, speech, and occupational therapists, home health aides, and many more. We also provide specialty services like palliative care and telehealth monitoring. If you're in need of home health care, choose Concordia Visiting Nurses. Call toll-free at 1-877-352-6200.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active. Another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes. Another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger. Two if you're very overweight. And three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
With us on the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn. I know it feels like Monday, but it's really Tuesday after the long holiday weekend. Stan Kosciusko joins us on the next segment of the program. Stan is the president of the Butler County Chamber of Commerce. Happy New Year, Stan.
Happy New Year to everybody out there. Thank you.
Yeah, good to see you again.
It's good to be back.
Mm-hmm.
Shalin, starting the year right.
Shalin Kirchi-Lang is also here. Shalin, good to see you.
Hi, Dave. It's nice to be here.
Yeah. So what's your connection with the Chamber this month?
Well, today I am here representing the Junior Women's Club of Butler, and we are putting on a joint event with the Butler County Young Professionals.
And it's coming up soon, early in the year?
Yes, it's coming up on January 18th.
It is very soon.
Yeah, just a couple weeks away.
Yeah. So what is it?
So it's the annual Volunteering Made Easy event that's put on by the Young Professionals. So this is an opportunity for different nonprofits in the community to present volunteer opportunities to younger people.
Mm-hmm.
And Junior Women's has partnered with them this year because we often invite the same group of nonprofits to submit requests for funds to our organization from the proceeds of our annual fundraising gala, Twilight Magic. So we thought it'd be great to just have those organizations present to both of us at the same time, looking for volunteer opportunities as well as financial need.
Is this the first time, Stan, for a joint effort here?
It's the first time for a joint effort, yeah. Now, Volunteering Made Easy, this will be their, I think, ninth year for doing Volunteering Made Easy. And what they've done in the past is they've invited nonprofits. They cut it off at 15 nonprofits, and they have 13 already that have signed up.
Mm-hmm.
They set up a display table, and then they each do a two-minute presentation on what their agency does, first of all, and then second of all, what opportunities they have for people to volunteer for their agency. The young professionals decided at the onset that rather than do a collective project, they were all interested in something different. So somebody might want to help out the Blind Association. Somebody else might want to help out Katie's Kitchen. So this way they get to hear what the nonprofits have for them, and then they can volunteer either collectively or individually for that.
Great idea.
Yeah. Now the nice part about hooking up with Junior Women's is Junior Women's does a fundraiser, and they then take bids from nonprofits to allocate those funds. And this will be an easier way for them to meet with the nonprofits. The nonprofits can tell them exactly what they need the funds for. Mm-hmm. I was always a firm believer in it's if somebody needs $1,200 for a refrigerator, I would rather raise the money and give them their $1,200 for the refrigerator so they can continue their program, rather than look at being a drop in a bucket to some organization. That's what Junior Women's has always tried to do. So they're very selective with the nonprofit that they pick for their fundraising efforts, because they put a lot of time and effort into their Twilight. When is your function? As well advertise that.
Yeah, it's always in March. We actually were pushing it back toward the end of March this year, just because of availability of event venues. So we'll have more details soon.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully it'll be a little warmer by then, too.
Yeah, that's true.
I went out into
it could be an Eskimo theme.
Right, who knows?
I stepped out into the lobby to welcome Stan and Shalyn, and I said, "Oh, the sun's out." And Shalyn says, "It's not helping."
It's not helping. Yeah. And the end of the week is going to be brutal. I mean, Friday, the low is going to be -8. It's just crazy.
Now, we get days like this every winter, sometimes one or two in a row, and you suffer through it. But I heard on the wire today that this is the longest frigid spell like this. I mean, because it's going to last, as you said, through this weekend, the longest in almost 30 years. 1989 was.
Well, we were also spoiled. You know, I was grilling outside on Thanksgiving Day. It was beautiful.
It's true. Yeah.
So we've been very spoiled. We didn't have a transition. We went straight from summer to like Arctic blast freeze. So.
And I think part of it's the timing. You know, right after Christmas, it just, we were instantly, in fact, I think that's the last time we were up to the freezing mark, just instantly brutal. And it's hard to get the motor started, and get the new year going after the...
Oh, yeah, and power outages.
Yeah.
You know, there have been a lot of power outages.
Well, I love the idea of Volunteering Made Easy. I know people who are very community service minded, and they've done volunteer work, sometimes for years. I was talking to a woman last fall who had served with the Butler Meals on Wheels for 40-some years, since its founding.
Mm-hmm.
And she was saying, well, it's time, I need someone else to step in here. But people who are community service-minded, they want to make sure that they're doing something that makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to just be busy work, and something to say, well, I volunteered for this group or that group. They want to, make sure they're making a mark.
Yeah,
and
that's
why
you.
I think this program is so good.
It is nice. Now, there is a volunteer coordinator at the United Way. His name is John Furman. And he finds out from agencies what volunteer opportunities they have, and then he will connect people to call the United Way and saying, I want to volunteer. Mm-hmm. But they're you know, kind of task-oriented. Like if somebody wants to do a cleanup day at their playground, then he knows to get 15 people for that day. So, you know, if with everybody working together, you can find avenues for volunteers. Now, they've changed the location for this one. The Volunteering Made Easy used to be at North Country Brewing, and we're moving it to the Holly Point building
downtown.
In their conference center downtown. Mm-hmm. Now, there will still be some hors d'oeuvres and refreshments for the young people, but they decided downtown Butler was a nicer place to do that. And the Holly Point Center has that beautiful conference room. That's where we had the debate for the mayor. So,
and again, the date for this is coming up very soon now.
Yes, it's Thursday, January 18th. It's part of the Young Professionals. Every month they have something on the third Thursday of the month. So this is the first event of 2018.
Is it an evening affair, Shalim?
Yes, I believe it starts at 5:30.
Mm-hmm. Starts at 5:30. And if anybody wants to attend, if you're a nonprofit out there and you haven't signed up, I would suggest calling the chamber very quickly this week because we are going to cut it off at 15.
Mm-hmm. And so you only have one or two slots left.
We only have three more slots. Yeah. So if a nonprofit is listening to this, please call the chamber today and schedule your table. If you are a young professional or anyone who is looking for a volunteer opportunity, you're welcome to attend. Just call the chamber so we know how many people are coming so we can plan the proper refreshments.
And I love the fact that you're limiting the presentation to 2 minutes.
Yes.
Right.
So you say what you need to say, be succinct, don't drag it out. You
know. Yeah. And we tell them, the letter we sent out to them that the young professional sent was be very specific on what volunteer opportunity you have or what project, program, service, event that you need financial assistance with. So, mm-hmm. And the nonprofits are pretty good at responding to that. So.
Are some of these longer term commitments? I mean, I know a lot of folks who, you know, everybody's busy, everybody's overscheduled. Sometimes they fail to realize that you can volunteer and make a mark without necessarily volunteering a whole bunch of time.
Yeah, I would say they're varied.
Yeah, no, that's a really good comment to make.
I mean, some folks say, I can't go 5 days a week or 4 days a week to do this.
What happens, let me tell you what happens from my experience at the Chamber in working with my young professionals and with the leadership of Butler County. Somebody might go and, let's say, help at the Blind Association because they're doing an event mm-hmm. or they're having a cleanup day. So they spend the afternoon there, and they all of a sudden they get interested in out-of-sight shredding or some program. So then they get a little more involved, and a lot of times they end up being on a board of directors for that organization because by volunteering for a nonprofit, you get firsthand knowledge as to what that nonprofit does, and it may just be something that you're interested in making a bigger commitment to. A lot of people in younger professionals in particular don't know that they can be on a board of directors of a nonprofit organization. They think it's only a select few people who are asked, or they're limited, or nobody wants them.
You have to know somebody that knows somebody.
Or that you have to have a lot of money. You know, I think that's a common misconception. Yeah. You know, it's not just your wallet that makes a difference.
Mm-hmm. But we're finding, you know, I'm so happy that the millennials, and I'll include Shaylin in the millennials, even though you're right on the cusp.
I'm on the cusp. I'm technically a millennial.
but it, for me, and I'm 66, so it's so nice for me to see the younger business people actually taking over the reins and bringing new ideas and new life into these projects. Because the business people my age have volunteered for a long time for certain things. Or they've never had an interest in volunteering. And they're not going to start volunteering once they retire if they've never had the interest. But the young people they breathe new life into these organizations. And also, they connect in a different way. They're connected through Facebook, Snapchat, electronic, you know, ways of connecting to advertise the projects. And they have the energy to do it, and they have the ideas. And it's nice for me to see them taking over.
And if it turns out to be something that is not doesn't appeal to you, or it's not interesting to you, or you want to move on to something else, you will know some information about some other opportunities.
Which organization did you raise funds for last year? I forgot.
Last year we contributed to the Kids Weekend Backpack Program.
Wonderful.
We also did the Sage Collector, who helps foster care families provide necessities.
Wasn't the backpack thing where kids who were getting some nutritional help at school would get some stuff to take home for Saturday and Sunday? Was
yes.
that the deal there?
Yeah. Yeah, kids who might not get to eat over the weekend mm-hmm. helps them get food for the
yeah.
weekend.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
And people don't realize that there are children in Butler County that don't eat. Their last meal is lunch on Friday, and they don't eat till they get breakfast on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And so if those of us who are more fortunate can help to raise money and supplies, and I know chamber members do food drives of non-perishable items, and then the instructors in the school district actually pack those backpacks for those children with fruit and something microwavable and, you know, a breakfast bar, and they will have something to eat.
Other than potato chips or whatever while
right.
they're sitting in front of the TV. Yeah.
yeah. Something yeah.
If they even get that much. Some of them don't even get that, yeah. you know. So,
how do you decide what your beneficiary is going to be each year?
Yeah, so as a club, we vote collectively. And we, in the past, we usually can give out about $10,000 at least. That's kind of our comfort zone that we like to kind of commit to. Mm-hmm. And then we really hope to be able to give beyond that. So usually we pick our top three or four organizations. It depends on how much they're requesting from us. And the nonprofits can request up to $3,000 for a need that they have. And we do try to ask that, again, it'd be something really specific that they're looking to replace or a program they're looking to fund or start. And then we vote as an organization. So this year we're going to actually vote like via an online survey after the event.
Of course, online
right.
survey.
Right.
again,
we don't want to bog down the festivities. We'll vote afterwards.
If you're a nonprofit, I have a couple of slots left for this event. So, and you suggest calling the chamber? Is that
call
right?
the chamber, yeah. And we'll send the request letter and then we'll sign them up for mm-hmm. a table.
We're on the cusp of a brand new year, January 2nd. Busy year planned for the chamber, Stan Kosciuszko?
Busy year, yeah. Very busy year. I get a new boss. You know her, Karen Brackett.
Mm-hmm.
She'll be on maybe in February. But she already set her agenda for this year. We're going to work on training. A lot.
She's
going to
be the
programs.
President of the board?
She will be the chair, the
chair?
Board chair.
Chair.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. And we already printed our calendar of events, as much as I know. That was printed and mailed out. I think I sent you a copy. Mm-hmm. It was in our newsletter. And I have a nice board of directors taking over. We actually, the nominating committee and the officers decided to add two vice chairs. Normally we have a chair, an incoming chair, a vice chair, and a secretary. And this year they added two vice chairs, because we have so many programs that are coming up. And the officers meet minimum twice a month. We have an officers meeting, then we have a board meeting. The officers set the agenda and then present it to the board. So they thought that I needed more help because of all the programs. So that was nice of them. So as I said, Karen Brackett will be the chair. Tom Ginevro from Butler Health System, you know him very
mm-hmm.
well.
Yes.
He'll be the incoming chair. And then Chris Cole from Slippery Rock and Keith Graham from the Butler Eagle will be the vice chairs. And Dan Schwartz from West Banco agreed to stay on one more year as treasurer. And then, of course, Lisa Howard Summers will be the past chair. So I have some good helpers. I have some really good helpers.
That's what makes an active chamber. Yeah.
So it makes an active chamber, yeah. And it... you know, after the break, we can discuss some of the new things we have coming up and some of the regular things. And
we'll take that break right now. I think we have midday lottery numbers, do we not? Yes. So we'll check those and then be back to talk a little bit more with Stan and Shalyn here on It's Your Turn on WISR, the Tuesday edition, the Tuesday that feels like Monday, actually with two long holiday weekends in a row. This past weekend, I did not know what day it was. And you turn on the TV and it's football all the time, so that didn't help either. It was very, very confusing. We'll get straightened out here. Most of the schools, well, some of the schools started back today, others did not. But in the next couple of days, we'll be back to a normal schedule. Okay, and we'll be back with more of It's Your Turn right after these words.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick 2 is 6161. The pick 3, 639639. Pick 4, 1642. The pick 5, 33022. Wild ball for each of those is 9. The treasure hunt, 4, 11, 24, 25, and 29. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $30,000.
It's January. The excitement of the holidays is over, and spring is a long way off. If you're looking for something to brighten your January, look no further than WISR's 12th Annual Butler County Wine Festival, presented by Deal Automotive on January 27th at the Butler Days Inn. The event features wine tastings from Pennsylvania wineries, plus two rooms full of vendors offering everything from home fragrance and decor to jewelry, beauty products, and wine-themed items and accessories. Local caterers and restaurants will also be on hand, offering their specialties to sample or purchase. Choose from two sessions, 2 to 5 or 6 to 9. Our premier ticket includes a souvenir wine tasting glass and a voucher for our refreshment booth. Tickets are $20 pre-sale and are limited for each session. Get yours today at butlerradio.com.
Welcome back. 1989. Yeah, that is 89, 99, 09. This is 18. It's almost 30 years since we had a cold snap that was this lengthy and, you know, and this absolutely frigid. I saw pictures on TV, whatever day it was that the Steelers played. Was that Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
And they had a aerial shot, you know. The Allegheny was partially frozen. The Mon was not, which is pretty typical. But then yesterday they had those plunges where these people jump into the Mon, and they had to bust up the ice. So that quickly, it's forming.
Yeah, that happened to us one year. If you remember, I used to have that group, and it was my leadership group. We'd do the polar bear plunge. They did it 5 years in a row. It was for CYS, for the backpack program. And the one year it was so cold, they had to have a backhoe there because every time they broke through the ice, it froze over.
Was that the one that they did at Moraine? At Lake Arthur?
Moraine. It was crazy. And then we had to have a guy in scuba gear that was hooked up to a heater. It was this big orange suit he had on. He looked like a space person. And it was hooked up to a heater, and he had to sit out of there on the ice floe. I thought, Stan, you're too old for this stuff. Too much liability.
I watched some video of those people that jump into the Mon in Pittsburgh. And that's not, you know, they do one up in Parker where they run into the Allegheny from the shore. But that's a different story. They jump into the Mon, they go under.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
that's deep.
Yeah, deep water. But they had a rope. Some of the people would be hanging onto a rope when they jumped in so they could pull them out again.
Well, some of them pass out. You know, you have to have the buddy system otherwise.
Not for me, I'm sorry to say.
I think you actually did that a couple of years, didn't you?
I never did it. No.
You never did it?
No.
Out of MacArthur, you mean?
It was your class that did that. You just didn't do it.
No, I didn't do it.
Well, that's one of the many fundraisers that that was Leadership Butler County. Is
was
that
Leadership
who did that?
Leadership Butler County, yeah.
Yeah,
this year they're doing a murder mystery again. Then I'll have them on to talk about that and their project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're probably getting close to halfway through the year already, right?
They're getting close to halfway through the year. Yeah, January they don't have a session. Their next session is February.
So. Speaking of which, you have one of the big events that the Chamber has sponsored actually for quite a few years now out at Clearview Mall.
It'll be the 16th Annual Health, Wealth, Wellness, and More Expo. And it's at the Clearview Mall on Friday and Saturday, February 2nd and 3rd. And on Friday, it's from noon to 6, and on Saturday, it's from 10 to 4. We limit it to 50 vendors, and we've been sold out the last 7 or 8 years.
This is, have you ever been to this, Shalynn?
I have, yes.
I mean, you know, wellness fairs, they're around, but this is the biggest one I've ever seen, and it has been for years.
It has been. It's very successful. Yeah. I think a couple reasons is we only charge $150. That's all we charge, and they can come out for 2 days. They can sell stuff if they want to. They can do little demonstrations if they want to. We really want businesses who can't do the big trade shows, the $1,000 trade shows, to come out there. And we do it in Center Court.
I was going to say, you have a great place, too, right in the middle
great
of the mall.
Great location, a lot of parking. It's you know, a couple weeks before Valentine's Day, so there's some mall traffic out there, and the walkers are out there in the morning and then the afternoon. It's been a nice event for us, and it's sponsored by the Y, KenMac, Highmark, Butler Eagle, and our main sponsors, Armco Credit Union.
And that's February 2nd and 3rd. And what days did you say that? Is that?
It's a Friday and a Saturday.
Friday, Saturday.
If somebody's out there listening that wants to be an exhibitor, if you remember, the title is Health, Wealth, Wellness, and More, which means more encompasses anybody that wants to come out. As long as it's a legal business, we will take your application.
Set up a booth, a table, information Correct. On whatever you have to offer.
Yeah, we have photographers out there, home improvement people, a lot of the health centers, senior assisted living centers, hospitals. So if you, if you want to exhibit, call the chamber, because I don't know how many slots we have left, but just call us at 283-2222, and Jennifer will help you there.
There's usually the opportunity for some screenings as well, some health screenings, preliminary health screenings.
They do some health screenings, blood pressure. Butler Health System a couple times did the osteo screening, the heel screening.
Bone density.
Osteoporosis, bone density.
Yeah.
So there's some nice things. A couple of the chiropractors do a spine analysis. There was somebody doing eye tests, vision tests. So just a wide variety of things. Mm-hmm. And it's nice.
And at your own pace, you know, go where you want to go as you browse around.
Correct.
Nice.
And a Clearview Mall could not be more accommodating. I mean, the place is set up really nice. KenMac brings the tables and chairs out for us that we need. And everything's set up well.
That's coming up on February 2nd and
it'll be here
3rd.
Before I know it.
Actually, it will be.
Yeah.
You know, that's, well, today's January 2nd. So
today's January 2nd.
A month away.
So it'll be here quick. So that's my first big event of the year.
Seems like it's a long ways off whenever it's as cold as it is right now.
It's not.
I've always felt that if you, and you know, struggle through the first week or two of January, put one foot in front of another, you know.
Yeah.
I know it's cold, you got to go to the supermarket, you got to go here, you got to go there. Before you know it, it's the middle of January, the days are noticeably longer.
Yeah, a few years ago we had to cancel it because we had snow. We had a blizzard. And
I remember that.
So we had to cancel it, yeah.
Well, sunset is already, I saw tonight, it's 5:03 or 5:04, I think, so. There's some lag time there, but it's, you know, it's getting there. It's getting there.
It's getting there.
Do you guys take your holiday decorations down right away after Christmas? Or?
No, it took us a while to get them all up, so we leave them up for a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. I enjoy them, too. Why take them down right away?
Right.
Yeah, well, I took some of mine down because I put them up really early. But I leave the outside stuff on, and I leave the lights turned on. So I don't have any neighbors. I live in the middle of nowhere. So me and the dog enjoy it very
I think it's kind of nice. Up to, you know, we have a lot of Orthodox Christians around here, and their Christmas is, you know, January 7th, I think.
My dad was Orthodox January 6th, Feast of the Three Kings. And one of the things, this was before Elf on the Shelf was ever heard of when we were kids. My father would have the three magi, and he would hide them around the house. And whoever found them first, the first one that found them, I have three brothers and a sister. We got a dollar. Okay. I was a very light sleeper. So I used to wake up and find out where the magi were. They were maybe in the china cabinet, or they were on top of the refrigerator. And then when we all got up, I would go right there, and my father would say, how do you always get this right? Because the three wise men were not allowed to be there until the 6th, because the Orthodox did not believe, they didn't know Jesus was born until the Magi got there and announced it to the world that Jesus was born. So I always had a fondness for the Feast of the Three Kings. It's a nice story, and my dad should have franchised that.
That is a nice story. There's no Orthodox in my family, but there are a lot of people here in the Butler area, especially, that are from that ethnic tradition. So why not celebrate with them a little bit,
Why
too?
Not celebrate it,
Well, gosh, thanks for being here, folks. Nice to talk with you. And again, just to recap, if you missed the beginning of our conversation, Volunteering Made Easy. What's the date and the time and so on again, Shalene?
Thursday, January 18th at 5:30 at the Holly Point Building.
And you can just go, right? There's no reservations or anything.
No, but we do ask that you try to notify the chamber and let them know that you're coming, just so we can prepare accordingly for seating and refreshments, mm-hmm. but no charge to come.
And a couple of slots remain for nonprofit organizations, if they might want to make a presentation.
And my calendar is all up on our website. I did the Google Calendar last week, so every event that we have planned already is up there.
I got an email from you yesterday.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, were you working yesterday?
I'm a hard worker, you know, and I love my job, so I probably shouldn't do that.
But, I was reading my email this morning, and I had a note from Stan, and the date was January 1st.